intellectual honesty when they say that.
Well, we've spoken about the intellectuals in this country and also the intellectuals in the Soviet Union. What about down at the broad mass level? Do the people in general, the workers in general in the Soviet Union, do they support the system? Do they tolerate it? What is their attitude?
Well, average Soviet citizen, if there is such an animal, of course, does not like the system because it hurts, it kills. He may not understand the reasons. He may not have enough information or educational background to understand. But I doubt very much there are many people who are conscientiously supporting the Soviet system. There are not such people in USSR. Even those who have all the reasons to enjoy socialism, people like myself, who were a member of journalistic elite, they also hate the system for different reasons, though. Not because they lack material affluence, but because they are unfree to think, they are in constant fear, duplicity, split personality. And this is the greatest tragedy for my nation.
Well, what do you think are the chances of the people actually overcoming their system or replacing it?
There is a great possibility that system will sooner or later be destroyed from within. There is a self-destructive mechanism built into any socialist or communist or fascist system, because there is lack of feedback, because the system does not rely upon loyalty of population. But until this Soviet junta is being supported by the Western so-called imperialists, that is, multinational companies, establishments, governments, and let's face it, intellectuals, so-called academia in the United States is famous for supporting the Soviet system. As long as the Soviet junta will keep on receiving credits, money, technology, grain deals, and political recognition from all these traitors of democracy or freedom, there is no hope, there is not much hope for changes in my country, and the system will not collapse by itself simply because it's being nourished by so-called American imperialism. This is the greatest paradox in history of mankind, when capitalist world supports and actively nourishes its own destructor.
I think you're trying to tell us something.
Oh, yes.
This country.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell you that it has to be stopped unless you want to end up in Gulag system and enjoy all the advantages of socialist equality. Working for free, catching fleas on your body, sleeping on the planks of plywood in Alaska this time, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's where Americans will belong, unless they will wake up, of course, and force their government to stop aiding Soviet fascism.
Well, you told us a moment ago why you left the system. I'd like to hear the details of how you did it. It must have been a very dangerous thing.
It was not so dangerous. It was crazy. First of all, because defecting in India is virtually impossible, thanks to very strong pressure from the Soviet government.
Excuse me, you were in India. On assignment at
yes,
that time.
Yes, I was working for the Soviet embassy in New Delhi as a press officer. Mm-hmm. And defecting for a Soviet diplomat is next to impossible. It's a suicide, as I said, because a great friend Indira Gandhi pushed a law through parliament which says, and I quote, "No defector from any country has a right of political asylum in any embassy on the territory of Indian Republic," which is a masterpiece of hypocrisy. No other defector but the Soviet one needs a political asylum. So knowing that perfectly well, I planned a craziest possible way to defect. I studied counterculture in India. There were thousands of young American boys and girls with no shoes, long hair, smoking hash and marijuana, studying sometimes Indian philosophy, sometimes simply pretending that they studied. And they greatly annoyed Indian police, and they were laughing stock of Indians, because obviously they were good for nothing students. I studied carefully where they congregate, what routes they travel, what language they speak, what do they smoke. And one day I simply joined a group of hippies to avoid detection of Indian police. I was dressed as a typical hippie with blue jeans, long kameez shirts with all kind of nice decorations like beads, long hairs. I bought a wig because for several weeks I had to turn myself from a conservative Soviet diplomat into a very progressive American hippie. And that was the only way that I could avoid detection. It was very interesting experience, but it was necessary because from my own knowledge as a member of Soviet embassy staff, I knew that there were many cases when Soviet defectors were betrayed by Indian police, and also some Western embassies played a very dirty role in betraying the Soviet defectors. According to our information, they were some, I wouldn't call them double agents, but simply immoral people working for this for the United States embassy, and confining in people like this would be a suicide. So I had to be extremely careful. I could not trust anyone, and that was the reason for such a crazy way to defect.
Well, had you been caught in the act of trying to get out, what would have happened to you?
Oh, most likely I would end up in concentration camp, or depending on the situation and on the whim of some bureaucrat in KGB. Maybe even executed. This is normal practice. Quietly, of course, not publicly. But that would be the end of my defection, of course.
Well, when did you finally make it to the United States?
In 1970, after about 6 months of debriefing in Athens by the CIA, and I presume FBI too, they let me go first to Germany, then to Canada. That was my decision. I had to change my identity to protect my family and my friends in USSR. And also, I was a little bit paranoid, knowing that both Soviet KGB and probably some double agents within American system may be after me. So I wanted to settle down as far away as possible. I requested CIA to give me some kind of new identity and just let me go on my own. And I settled in Canada. I was a student. I changed many professions from farm help and laundry truck driver to language instructor and broadcaster for Canadian Broadcasting Corporations in Montreal.